Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Bitterness Part 2, our title tonight. We're in the time in David's life where he is fleeing from Jerusalem, from Absalom's rebellion. He's met multiple people along the way. Recently, he has returned Hushai to Jerusalem. There, Hushai has been blessed of God to defeat the council of Ahithophel. Hushai then takes and gets word to the priest's son, who were placed in Jerusalem for that purpose, being able to be a messenger to get word back to David. Those boys get the message, and somehow a slave woman is involved with their life to get them on their way. And despite all their efforts to be undetected, they are spotted by a lad. But God divinely protects them, and they get word to David. The message is given to David, and we saw last week it did not include the words of Hushai, that he successfully defeated the council of Ahithophel. But we saw that it was sufficient because David took that word, moved rapidly, was able to cross the Jordan, and everyone made it to safety. Well, tonight we're going to dwell a little bit more on those, but we're also going to consider Ahithophel hangs himself. Verse 23 of chapter 17 is our text. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his house in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. What a sad situation we have here in Scripture. This man once had such a walk with the Lord, has joined a rebellion, and has gotten himself to such a state that when his counsel was not taken, he killed himself. We have recorded that Ahithophel gave two counsels to Absalom. The first counsel that we see is in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 21. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. What perverted counsel! All Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father, and they're going to embrace you for this vile act? Remember, Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. That's why he is so bitter at David. But he's kind of forgotten that Bathsheba's got a lot of guilt in this issue too. It's amazing that Absalom embraced that counsel. And there, on the roof of the palace where David stood and saw Bathsheba, Absalom followed Ahithophel's counsel. And they still revered Ahithophel as this incredible source of wisdom. So they asked for his second counsel. We see that in 2 Samuel 17:1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. Well, they accepted his first perverted counsel, but this time Hushai then speaks, and he defeats the counsel. His counsel's not good at this time, rather. Therefore, we see that Hushai was divinely protected, and God used his effort to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And it says in verse 23, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, You're not going to be allowed to take 12,000 men, chase David, and kill him. Rather, Hushai has counseled that you get an assembly out of all of Israel. This is going to take time. And that, of course, was what Hushai was trying to do, is buy time for David to get across the Jordan. I want us to consider the power of bitterness. It will destroy you. Bitterness, that feeling inside of anger toward another. And while you or whoever it is harboring that bitterness, remember, it is self-contained. That person could be over here saying, I had no idea so-and-so was bitter at me. Who are you really hurting? Let us consider a few things from this passage of this very, very bitter man. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, his pride was hurt. He was used to people accepting his words as if they were an oracle from God. They even accepted his words to take the concubines to the palace roof. Was his plan militarily better than Hushai's? I am not a military expert. All I know is this. It defeated the counsel of Ahithophel. Better or not, we know this. It bought time for David. And we know this. His pride was incredibly hurt. Did you know that Ahithophel was not looking for the good of the nation? He had his self-interests in mind. I am so angry at David. That's all that mattered to him. Personal desire and vengeance. Thus, when his counsel was rejected and he was not getting his own way, he threw an adult temper tantrum to the excess. His counsel was based on a bitter grudge against David. So what did he do? He saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city. I'm going to throw a little temper tantrum and I'm just going home. Can you see a kid on the playground? Not getting his own way. Give me my ball. I'm going home. You poor baby. His actions were very deliberate. In one sense, this made a whole lot of sense. What he did, just gather it up, fine, logically. Place the saddle properly on the animal. Get on, follow the path. Doesn't say he was a flaming, raving maniac. He very calmly and deliberately planned and executed his exit and way home. He is not getting his own way. He hasn't, according to the text, started yelling at people. In one sense, he's under control. And yet the other sense is, he's giving himself some really bad counsel. And what does he do? He continues his logical behavior and put his household in order. Today we would say he put his will in order. Maybe he had some life insurance policies, we would say today. He provided for the closing up of his estate. This is really weird behavior for somebody that's ready to kill themselves. I perceive he's reasonably well off, that he has to provide for his household. I perceive he had a house. He obviously had an ass to ride. We're going to see also that he was buried in his father's sepulcher. He must have come from some type of family with some type of estate. His father had a burial place. They weren't buried in just some haphazard, shallow grave. He apparently had a good mind. I perceive he was an educated man. Even if he was not provided for as a youth, somehow in his older days, he had some kind of education that allowed him to become a refined counselor to the king. And yet he is so ignorant right now in what he's doing. You know, one of the things we have to be careful as Christians, we have a struggle in us between the following the Holy Spirit, following the flesh, and the thoughts that the devil puts in our mind. And we have this struggle inside. Let me tell you what, Christian. Don't be surprised if you see a Christian, when they fall away from the Lord, they're worse than any infidel you've ever seen. Because they're rejecting light. They know better. And when they fall, they fall. This man has way too much light to be behaving like this. So smart, yet such a fool. Getting his house in order, but not getting his spirituality in order. What a fool. Now that he's got everything set, he hanged himself and died. His death was no accident. He chose to take his own life. Maybe some of you in this room can relate from personal experience. I have had people around me, never ever shall I say of an intimate relationship, but some that I knew have taken their own life. Do they ever think about the poor person that has to walk in and find them? I've never experienced it, folks, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out that must be awful. Here he is, this man of once such spiritual wisdom, killing himself and awakening in death to stand in the presence of God. Then he realized the folly of his behavior, but it was too late. Quote, and hanged himself. So to his other sins added that of suicide, which was done deliberately, as the preceding clause shows. This he did partly because his proud spirit could not bear it that his counsel should be slighted, and that of another be preferred to it, and partly because he plainly saw that the cause of Absalom would be ruined by neglecting his counsel and following that of Hushai's, whereby he himself would fall into the hands of David and be put to death by him as a traitor. And he chose to die by his own hand and not his, and the rather to prevent the confiscation of his goods and estates as a traitor and his heirs being deprived of them. I don't know. Would David truly have killed him as a traitor? I'm not sure. I think right now David has so much on him, and he is going to ever remember the rest of his days what he did with Bathsheba and what he did with Uriah. I wonder if he would not have been merciful and welcome him back. Why in the Bible they named people a name that meant something? Now, we may know somebody whose name means joy, but we don't really associate names with meanings. Ahithophel means brother of folly. Why would you name your child brother of folly? I don't know. But he is certainly wearing the behavior of his name. And he was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Quote, here we see the dreadful end of bad men. Like another Judas, he falls unpitied, unregarded. His name Ahithophel, which signifies the brother of a fool, best marked his end, and he died as a fool died. If, as some suppose, David wrote Psalm 55 on this man's account when he prayed to God to turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, we see how fully the Lord answered the prayer. There are several in this psalm striking the point. Let's consider some of the psalms. And we don't know for sure, but Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 51. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Now keep that thought in mind if that city is truly referencing Jerusalem. And Absalom is starting his rebellion and David flees. Psalm 55:12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. Could this be Ahithophel? It sure seems like it. His name is not mentioned. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. The confusion, of course, there says go down to hell. Well, how would Ahithophel go to hell? But yet, if David had a sweet friend going to the temple, the house of God, I don't know. I can't answer that. I know this. David is terribly distraught when he wrote that because he was betrayed by somebody so close. Is he saying that maybe my friend was unsaved? I don't know. I confess I can't answer that. It was not an enemy that reproached me. I could have borne it. Quote, it was not an open foe, but a pretended friend. He went over to the other camp and tried to prove the reality of his treachery by calumniating his old friend. None are such real enemies as false friends. Reproaches from those who have been intimate with us and trusted us cut us to the quick, and they are usually so well acquainted with our peculiar weaknesses that they know how to touch us where we are most sensitive and to speak so as to do us the most damage. Neither was it one that hated me that did magnify himself. Then I could have hid myself from him. We can find a hiding place from open foes, but who can escape from treachery? If our enemies proudly boast over us, we nerve our souls for resistance. But when those who pretended to love us leer at us with contempt, whither shall we go? I think Ahithophel was truly a dear friend, got offended because of the infraction, the sin, the violation, the gross, gross behavior of David with Bathsheba that he turned. This is what he's up against. I want us to consider and back up a little bit as we now see Ahithophel killing himself. I want to go back in 15 and come up through 23 and just think of some of the truths that can apply to us. Here we have in this passage the unrest among people. Absalom's forces, David's forces, the treachery, the out-and-out interaction. It's the reality of life because even the best of men are sinners. Right now we are not in our situation fleeing from an invading army. But we have a spiritual battle all around. We have trials and tribulations. We have crime. We have scam artists coming to the front door. We have to beware. And in this passage, we see the consequences of sin. They're felt throughout the land. Let us remember this. All, underline that, all human governments have problems. David, the only man in the Bible called a man after God's own heart, has done the most deplorable, adultery and murder. All human governments have their problem. Here is David. He cannot lead because he's having to flee for his life. And the people suffer. And yet we see the hand of God in the truths of spirituality. God warns us against sin. He tells us what will happen. We're seeing the consequences. And we're also seeing, though, when we consider God in this, David prayed and we see God's divine hand. He is blessing. He did see to it that David would make it safely across Jordan River. We see in this passage that God has purpose for every person. Take a look at 2 Samuel 17:17. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz, they are the two priest's sons who are going to carry the message. These two young boys stayed at Enrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city, and a wench, a slave woman, went and told them. God even had plans for a slave woman. Do you think it was important that she got the word to those boys so they could tell the king? Folks, sometimes we may feel our job is so insignificant. God says, you have no idea. I did not plant you in time and space by error. I have purpose for you there. Be faithful. This woman that we know not by name, we don't know anything. We don't even know who owned her. We don't know where she worked. We don't know. Except in the town of Enrogel. You do have a place by God. Do not ever complain about your lot. Do you realize if this slave woman had not been faithful, the plan would have failed? What if she would have been loyal to Absalom? I want you to consider other people in this short passage. The two young boys. They happened to be born into a family at such and such a time, so that David needed their fathers to go back to Jerusalem so we could do what? You want me to be a messenger? We're playing for keeps here, aren't we? Do you know what happens if they catch us? There are no mistakes. Hushai, he had no idea when he came to David. I'm going to be sent back and do what? Yeah, you're going to risk your life in the inner circle of Absalom. The two priests. Wait a minute. My job is to be a priest. You're the king, and soldiers are soldiers. And he said, you priests, I need you to go back and be my eyes in that city. And when you see something, give it to your boys and tell them to come report to me. Folks, in God's service, who knows what you're going to be called upon to do? I like this. The unknown man and woman, 2 Samuel 17:18. Nevertheless, a lad, whoever that lad was, he was apparently loyal to Absalom. He saw them, the two boys, and told Absalom, but they both went them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim. What do we know about this guy? Not a whole lot. He had a well in his court, whither they went down, and the woman. Are they married? I assume so, but I don't know for sure. Maybe it was his sister. Maybe it was a neighbor at the time. We don't know. But she took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon. The thing was not known. And then Absalom sends two men. They come. Where are the boys? I don't know. We don't know anything about this man, or shall I say, we don't know much about this man and woman, but I know this. They were vital to God's plan. Do not ever look at your life and say, I am not in a position to do anything for the Lord. Yes, you are. Be faithful where you are. Today we live in peace and prosperity. Oh, we hear it in the news. Maybe some of you have been victims of crime. But the truth is, when you think about what we're reading, it seems so distant, not only in time, but in another place. This is very real to God's people. We have to leave now, or we're going to be dead. Did you know that could happen to us? Is your Christianity ready for that? What if right now we as a group have to take off with the clothes on our back and that's it? That's what's happening to David. Oh, it'll never happen here. That's probably one of the biggest problems in America. We're cursed with prosperity. And it's lulled us to spiritual sleep. I want you to consider the many innocent victims in this world, 2 Samuel 15:11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. They went in their simplicity. They knew not anything. They had no idea what they had gotten themselves into. There is a very real spiritual battle going on. We carry the light of truth. We must share it. And through all of the darkness that we see here, the sad condition of God's people in civil war again. Chapter 17, verse 22, David arose and all the people that were with him, they passed over Jordan by the morning light and there lacked not one. How many times through our darkest trials do we really start to become very thankful? Dear God, not one was lost. By the morning light, they did it in darkness. They crossed a river. So in one sense, we see incredible problems. In another sense, we still see the divine hand of God. I think we can see here the balance too. Well, I'll just trust God. You better, as they say, trust God and keep your powder dry. You better pack up and follow David across Jordan and get to Mahanaim. We have to trust God, yes, and we have to do, and He will bless. He will see us across Jordan and praise God. There's coming a day David would come back to Jerusalem and reclaim his throne. Any one of us can get into sin. If David and Ahithophel can fall, so can we. Oh, I'll never do that. That's what David would have said. That's what Ahithophel said. And that's what the people would have said about those two men. Boy, are they pillars of spirituality. They were. Beware of bitterness. It destroyed Ahithophel. Isn't it interesting, though, that it didn't destroy David? There are many who would have gotten bitter at God. Okay, enough. No. David, you had so much spiritual light. And David did not get bitter. Even when Shimei cursed and threw rocks and dust at him, let him go. Let him go. Ahithophel was very bitter, and its source was all because he focused solely on himself. Let's go back a little bit to 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. I want you to consider how selfish Ahithophel is. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed. I, implied there, will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. Please take a look at chapter 17, verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him to his house, to his city, to put his house in order. And he hanged himself. Everything was all about him. He got his eyes on himself. Poor me. If you haven't figured it out yet, you're going to be wronged in this life. Adjust, deal with it, and give it to God. The Bible teaches us to prefer others over ourselves, surrender our will, deny ourselves, and be a tool in God's hand. I like it. I don't know who said this, but blessed are those who expect nothing, for they shall not be disappointed.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.